Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by WaitingForNextYear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at Dairy Speaks and Todd at TDGuardiansKU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
And we got a spring training episode, everybody, at the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast from WaitingForNextYear.com and the Evergreen Podcast Network. Matt and Todd with you on a Sunday, March the 10th. Todd, we're got about 2.5 weeks, and then we're ready for the start of the regular season when the Guardians are in Oakland to take on the Athletics. How you been?
Thank God. I'm good. I'm ready for the season to start.
Are you?
Yeah. You know, our college basketball teams are leaving a lot to be desired this season. I mean, I guess for you, it's been a little bit different than me, but I'm ready. Yeah, I've been, you know, I would say I've been watching a lot of Guards preseason action, but all I can get is what I can get. Although a good friend of the program provided me with a username and password to his DirecTV account. So I'm now locked and loaded for the season. Only problem is I you know,
wait, what?
It's not like I can just pop it on every screen real quick, you know?
This is ridiculous. Can you paint the picture for everybody, by the way, on this?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this on the show before, but, you know, with the Guardians being in bed with that ridiculous Bally's Sports, I can't even remember the name of the parent company again. Who's the parent company again?
Oh,
I can't think of the
Sinclair?
Name. It'll come to me. Well, no, Sinclair, but then there's, Diamond Sports Group.
Diamond
That's
Sports
what it is.
Group. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Diamond Sports Group. And I cut the cord and went to YouTube TV, which, by the way, free plug, it's the greatest. If you're not on it, it's insane. You should be on it. It's so great. The only negative is they don't have Bally's Sports, but I was told from people, this was beforehand, that, oh yeah, you know, I don't know. I cut the cord too, and we just get the Bally Sports app, which I heard was terrible. And I use it that way for the Cavs and whatever. I don't watch the Cavs, so I don't have ever
big,
needed
big
to use it.
Big Cavs fan. There you go.
Yeah. Big New Gravity fan. So
got a question
yeah.
For the band.
Yeah. So then when Diamond came out and said, we're going to do this for one more year, the agreement said that the streaming rights were not with Bally's and are not with Diamond. And because of that, anybody who doesn't have a cable system, you're SOL for the most part. So
who doesn't have a minor league system?
The Major League Baseball television, you know, obviously. The long and the short of it is, I'm a season ticket holder, and I have no way of watching the games unless I get, you know, somebody giving me their password, which is a joke.
How do you grow the audience? And I know the NBA went through some of this a little bit, and they kind of worked it out. And I know this is happening.
Yeah, but they worked it out.
Right. But this is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But we got a lot to get into. Certainly the center field situation is getting interesting. The shortstop situation is not getting interesting. Gavin Williams... You know, conflicting reports this morning on Gavin Williams getting hurt. Where do you want to start? I'll start here. I went on with Garrett Bush yesterday on The Fan on his Saturday morning show and was talking about this Tyler Freeman situation. I don't know about you, Todd. If the season started tomorrow, I would guess and I would bet that Tyler Freeman would be, batting second and playing center field?
I mean, my fingers are crossed. I know that your boy, Miles Straw, I'm just kidding, he played in his, I believe today was his first game. Is that correct? That he's played in a while,
today as we're recording. Yes.
Yes. And, you know, because of his injury, which by the way, you, I believe said last year that if Miles Straw is starting and playing center field on opening day, you are going to boycott. I don't believe that that's
so
really going to happen.
Watch. Yes.
Anyway, and his injury has actually opened the door for Freeman to get more at bats. And what I love to see since we last spoke is the amount of times Freeman has been starting and playing center field. I love it. I love it. Here's the thing. If you're looking, we're talking shortstop also, and it's Arias and Rocchio. Who's going to be better? Well, Arias is not performing well with the bat. Got that long swing, as Ags texted me yesterday. Still,
yes.
he's not exactly lighting the world on fire. And it's basically, it seemed like it was his job to lose. Brian Rocchio, on the other hand, who is, you know, the third rated prospect in the system, is 2-for-19 at the plate, and hasn't looked great either. So this is not a good situation at shortstop for hitting. They were, I'm assuming, hoped one of the two, you know, would take the bull by the horns. But, you know, Arias is 3-for-16 and hasn't looked much better. Both of them are fine defensively. Arias is actually better defensively. But Freeman, who's a forgotten man, he's 7-for-22 heading into Sunday's action, but he's been playing a ton of center field. So if this is a way to get his bat in the lineup more than anything, I'm all for it. I'm all for anything that is not Miles Straw in center field.
Yeah, no, personally. I agree. And look, I mean, he's been hitting, which is nice. And again, it's spring training. It's 2 weeks in. We got another 2.5 weeks to go. He could cool off and maybe Rocchio could get hot, or Florial could get hot, or Arias could get hot. Arias was supposed to be in the lineup today, but he went home sick, apparently. So, you know, but as of right now, you're right. There's a reason that Vogt keeps putting Freeman in center field and playing him. They want to see it. So that's good. And again, because this is a left-handed heavy lineup, which we've been saying for years, I mean, going back to the Chisenhall days, it just seems like a right-handed bat and somebody at the top of the lineup, when we're talking about against another righty, you got Kwan, you got Ramirez as a switch hitter, you got Naylor, who's a left-handed hitter, you got Bo Naylor as a left-handed hitter. You know, Manzardo, if they're going to go with him, and of course he's hitting at an RBI double on Saturday, he's left-handed hitting. And if you believe Jeff Passan, Chase DeLauder is left-handed hitting. So you're having another right-handed stick, and we you know, and we joke about it. And I mean, even my fantasy football team name in the Derryberg League, shout out to two members of the Derryberg League who are listening to this pod right now, traveling back from Colorado. But Tyler Freeman's a right-handed bat, but he only played on Sundays last year. So my team name was Tyler Freeman Sundays Only. Wouldn't it be nice to have a guy in the two hole that could put the ball in play, and that's a right-handed bat, and just, you know, varies up the lineup a bit. So I'm all for it. Like you said, that's what spring training is for. He's athletic enough. He can run. Can he play the position? And can he learn to then have to play the position with the wall in left field, the 19-foot wall? I mean, there's a lot to it.
Let me just say that obviously up the middle is very important defensively. However, while Straw is an unbelievable defensive player, his bat obviously is a serious liability. We've watched it for too many years. I don't want to see that every day. I know they traded Cody Morris for Esteban Florial, hoping that they could unearth, you know, unlock him, and the change of scenery would be good for him. He's been playing center field as well. He's 2-for-21 with 9 strikeouts heading into today's action. So that's not good. So he's not hitting. We already know Straw can't hit. And you have, but the defensively, to the left and to the right of center field, you have Gold Glove, Stephen Kwan in left. Right field, Laureano. I think it's pretty clear that it's going to be a Will Brennan, Laureano platoon with the way Will Brennan's been hitting. He looks good. And Vogt was a teammate of Ramon Laureano, and I got to believe there's a trust factor there. And also the big thing, and I think I mentioned this in the last pod, Miles Straw's biggest fan was Terry Francona, and he's not here anymore. So it's not like Vogt is married to Miles Straw the way that Tito was like, well, we'll let him work through it. We'll let him work through it. I don't think that that's true. So
it's not.
We're getting a lot of signs here that Freeman could play center field. He really could. I think this is a very real thing. I do.
What if he's the best shortstop? That's the other thing. Let's say Manzardo has to be on the roster. Let's say Straw has to be on the roster because they're paying him whatever they're paying.
Well, Manzardo doesn't have to be on the roster. They're not going to force it.
If he's hitting and he has to play and he's your DH and he splits for time at first base with Naylor and he starts off hot, he's got to play. So that leaves somebody out. Florial's out of options. Straw has to be there. Laureano, we're running out of people here.
I know that they're going to hold Florial because they decided that, you know, they traded Cody Morris for him. But, like, if he sucks, he sucks. DFA him. Don't waste your time, you know? there's that. Then you also, we're in that roster crunch is the problem. I personally, if this spring plays out, if things continue this same path, the way they're going now, I think that you're going to send down Rocchio because he's not hitting. They'll keep Arias up and probably play him at shortstop, but I think you'll see a lot of rotations around. I think you'll probably see some Freeman at short. I think you'll see some Freeman at center. They may just super sub him around. And, you know, Jeff Passan wrote about a week ago a piece on the top 10 guys in baseball who the scouts are talking about the most. And it wasn't just prospects. I mean, like Tyler Glasnow for the Dodgers was on that list, right? So it was like a bunch of major league guys. Chase DeLauter was listed as one of the 10. And the last sentence in the article was something to the effect of, and it wouldn't shock me if he was on the opening day roster. I don't think he's putting that out there unless he has some someone's telling him something. I mean, so
he's as dialed in when anybody nationally breaks Guardians news, it's usually him. I mean, he's usually dialed in. He's obviously got Cleveland ties, of course, his father Rich, the passing program. So, you know, that was a surprise. And because this team is number three in town, and other than, you know, the Lockdown Guardians guys and Zach and TJ, I mean, there's not a lot of, and you and me, there's not a lot of, you know, tons of Guardians talk. That kind of went under the rug, but that's a pretty big deal when you talk about a guy that last year, what's the highest he got to? Double A? And hey, how you doing? What's going on, Double A?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah.
Chase DeLauter is the future. But again, where's he gonna play? Now again, you'll figure it out. There's always a way of figuring it out. If Will Brennan and Ramon Laureano are hitting and they have to platoon in center and DeLauter's in right and Freeman's at short, screw it, go with it, whatever works. You know, now is about finding out what you have, and there's it's such a young team, but you know, there's a reason Freeman's getting a lot of burn there. I like the new swing with Brennan. It looks like his hands are kind of in a different spot. Freeman's got the new leg kick going. There's a lot that they're doing with this team because last year they couldn't score. And you're right, Laureano is a proven big league bat. I mean, he had a lousy last couple of years in Oakland, but there was a time a few years ago where he was hitting. So maybe he's rejuvenated. You can't have
He's got that cannon for an arm too, and he's a right-handed bat, which right.
You can't have.
We don't have any of those.
Can't have all kids playing. So obviously, you know, there's still a ways to go. They're not opening up until the 28th in Oakland, and you got four games there. What's interesting too is usually you get a day off. There's no days off. They're playing four in Oakland. I think they're playing.
No, they're going to have to start five guys in a row. Normally, it's like, oh, you leave the fifth starter behind, and they're playing four in Oakland, three in Seattle, and then one in Minnesota before they get an off day. It's interesting. They don't have their off day is that second Friday. It's like they're the home. I don't know if it's the home opener, but I'm assuming
it's
it is
because
it's
a for Seattle
for Minnesota. No. I'm talking about for Minnesota.
Yeah, for Minnesota, because then they always have that rain day.
Yeah. So it's an interesting start to the season. So you and you have to have five starters to start. I think this is a good transition into the news of today, which we saw on Twitter, which first was a alarm bells scare tactic by Hoynsey saying. Gavin Williams. It was the writing was not great. It was Gavin Williams felt discomfort in his right elbow throwing weighted balls, and he's been scratched from the start. And then Mandy Bell, friend of the program, followed it up by saying, "Actually, they're going with a immense." I believe it was a quote from Vogt. Is that right?
It said Stephen Vogt said Gavin Williams made an awkward throw during his weighted ball routine and felt some discomfort in his elbow, which is why he's not starting today. Vogt said this is out of an abundance of caution, and Williams should be throwing again in a couple of days.
Okay.
Williams made it out like won't throw for a couple days, scratch from his start. Like,
yeah, I was a little concerned until that second.
Paul, can we get some context from the skipper before you tweet, please?
Yes. So that was interesting. But then so you're going to need five starters. Xavion Curry took his spot today. They've been stretching Curry. Yeah, they've been stretching Curry out. to be a starter, and obviously they know he can handle that long end role. You still got Carlos Carrasco, so Joey Cantillo's having a really good spring. You know,
until
so
today.
far he's looked
until
pretty
today.
Good until today. Yeah,
he just gave up a 3-run home run.
Oh well, can you rewind that and erase what I just said? Yeah. So
well,
no,
know.
Listen, it happens, but no, bad. but he looks better. He has looked better.
Yeah, yeah. I like him, but again,
I like.
You got, yes, Jim, you got, if you go Bieber, McKenzie, Bybee, Williams, and Allen, you feel good about it. You do, but they got to stay healthy. And you're right. Then that sixth spot, it's a giant step down. Cantillo, we
Yes,
don't
it
know.
Is.
I like him. You know, left-hander, was good at AAA last year, was a AAA All-Star, was in the Futures game, all of that. He's got a future, certainly, but is he ready right now? Is Curry your long man? Is Carrasco your long man? Does he have enough juice and velocity left at age, what's Carlos now, 36, 37? So, you know, it's Hunter Gaddis. Do you trust him starting games for you?
No, I don't.
Gavin Williams had 9 strikeouts and 4 2/3 innings so far. I mean, the guy's a machine. And I was real looking forward to him pitching. So hopefully this elbow discomfort is just, hey, threw a weighted ball, felt a little bit something, was a little bit sore, and he's like, let's just give it a rest and hopefully it's fine, and hopefully that's all it is, you know.
Carrasco's 36, by the way.
36.
Yes. But, so yeah, I don't know, to be honest. There's, you have some depth there, but you just don't know, and it is actually too bad this is the first year that we don't have that day off, especially knowing what you know now. But you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, the bigger thing that I see, and I know you've been talking to people in the organization and that are dialed in as well, that the bullpen is pretty much a wide open spot. You got,
yes.
You know, right now you have two guys who, well, one I was counting on, one I wish was gone and not on the team, between Trevor Stephan and 99, who have not pitched this spring and are clearly not going to start the season on, you know, on the roster. In, you know, it's, so without those two guys, who are two guys you were heavily going to lean on, where is the rest of the stuff going to be coming from? Is Tim Herron going to get another crack? Is, you know, obviously you got Class A and Barlow and Big Sam at the back end, but Eli Morgan, he is what he is at this point. We know that, right? Ben Lively is out of options, and they gave him guaranteed money. And listen, if it's a normal franchise, you're like, oh, but now does Ben Lively get a shot? Stanlin obviously still there. He'll be on the roster. But tell me a couple of the names that you've been hearing and that you've been looking at.
Well,
that are interesting to you.
I got some whispers about Cade Smith and, of course, Franco Alemán, who the other day pitched the 9th inning, came in.
Is it Franco or Franco, by the way? Very important for me to know.
Franco or Franco?
Yeah, like Franco Cisternino, my college roommate. That's why I wanted to know if it was Franco or Franco.
I think
it's like Franco. Like Franco the butcher?
That's right.
Okay.
I bet he acted like he didn't know me, right?
That's so Franco. Yeah, come on.
But Alemán's a guy that the other day came and struck out the side in a 1-run game. And I know it's spring training, it's scrub White Sox that they're going up against and minor leaguers, but Vogt said the next day the kid came in and looked like he wanted the ball. He played the part of a closer in a 1-run game and he looked the part. So that's good. And he can hit triple digits. So I know he's not on the 40-man roster. There's an old bit there.
Drink.
But yeah. I think we're going with the best guys right now. I mean, Cade Smith's been good. Kind of drops down a little bit. Alemán's got good stuff and throws hard. I think fans are going to, you know, when the season starts and they bring these guys in, they're going to go, who are these guys? But they might be the best of the lot. And again, like you said, no Stephan, no Karinchak. Eli Morgan getting, you know, he got hit hard yesterday. So let's see what some of these young guys can do. Herron, I mean, Tim Herron came up last year and no one saw him for the first month. And it's like, wow, who's this guy? He looks great. And then the book was out on him and he got hit pretty hard. So we'll see.
I think Cade Smith has played his way into a role here. I think Alemán, you know, So I don't know if I read up on his story. I guess he started the year last year and got like completely lit up. And then he moved up due to injury one level and became this unbelievably dominant guy and put himself on the radar. So which is pretty impressive stuff. And Cade Smith, to me, though, you've been hearing a lot about him. And I love the way he throws. I watched him the other day. I believe it was they were facing the Dodgers.
Yeah, the Dodgers.
When I was watching, it was on MLB. Yeah.
Dialed in.
I mean, I really liked. I like the look. I mean, again, I'm not going to sit here and act like, oh my God, I've watched him so much. He looks fantastic. Let's get all excited. This is the guy. But all off season, you heard the one name, the one young bullpen name you heard was Cade Smith. So. If that's the case, and he has looked as good as he's looked, so it's worth. Listen, you got to fill out that dumpster. It's a 13-man. But you're not, because they're going to have a AAA rotation. So it's, you know, between Gattis, Curry, Cantillo, and Carrasco, one of those four guys is going to maybe, you know, depending on the Gavin Williams situation, is going to be in the rotation. You're going to need guys in that pen that, and so why not, you know, why not? I'd rather give it a shot with someone like a Cade Smith than Ben Lively or Jaime Barria, you know, one of these 4A guys who they, took a flyer on. I mean, I know we are the kings of unearthing a guy who's going to work every year, but
the resurrection, you know, projects like Otero and others. Yeah.
DLS.
Yeah. I also think,
you know, he was one. So yeah. So
you never know. There's a possibility of a trade. Because of this log jam where, you know, maybe you make a move, you know, and one.
Yeah. I'd like to make a move. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I agree.
And a pitcher comes back. You never know. We'll see. But yes, Cade Smith, well, I like the arm angle. I like how he throws.
Tall guy too. Long and lean. I like that. I will say this. We've talked about this before. The log jam at shortstop, they overplayed their hand. It's not worth repeating for the 75th time. What if you took Rocchio and said, okay, I don't know what we're going to do here. Angel Martinez is having an absolutely killer spring.
Right.
You still got Brito.
First time we've mentioned him. He's been the best player of the spring. He's on picks every time.
You still got Brito in the system, who's a second baseman. We still have Arias. You still have Freeman. And obviously, Andrés Giménez's natural position is shortstop. I know he won the Platinum Glove at second, but it's a very easy thing to flip him over to shortstop if you need to. It's not like that's going to be a hard thing. Why not take Rocchio and say, okay, team who needs a shortstop, Los Angeles Dodgers, for example, here's Rocchio. We're attaching Miles Straw to this contract to get rid of Straw. What's stopping that? Rocchio's the guy who probably has the best value. And I have never been completely sold on him. I've also never been completely sold on Arias. And I wanted to package these guys together about two years ago, but you know, that's neither here nor there. Why not trade Rocchio and attach Straw to him and then open up center field?
First of all,
and then shortstop, it's Arias, sink or swim. If he sucks, Angel Martinez, Juan Brito.
I know. They have so many
Giménez,
Freeman.
So
many guys.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's options there.
Hold on. They have so many guys, but they're terrified to trade away any of them because of what happened with Jones and Benson. It's like they're.
But you can't let that dictate. You can't let that dictate it.
But it's fresh in their minds. They're thinking, what if we trade Rocchio again? You're right. They might have to deal somebody. Who knows? It could be Tana. It could be. I didn't even mention him.
Right. That's another guy.
There's zillions of these guys. So eventually you're going to have to part with one, but they want to part with the right one. They don't want to trade Rocchio.
Throw a dart.
Not really giving him a shot. Send him to the Dodgers or something like you said. Mookie Betts is moving to short because Lux can't throw.
I was with P1 listener Jeremy Bilski last night. He's like, did you hear who's playing shortstop for the Dodgers now? And I said, Gavin Lux. He's like, no, I read that Gavin Lux had the yip since he came back, that they're moving Mookie Betts over to shortstop.
Yeah.
I thought he had misheard it because he's playing second base all spring. They're moving him to short. Yeah. Couldn't believe it.
Lux can't make the throw.
Mm. You wanted Gavin Lux so badly, too. That was your guy.
I know.
But again, that is more proof that prospects, it's such a crapshoot. And yes, sometimes these guys work out and they're stars and it's great. But more times than not, it doesn't. So you got to take some chances. I mean, it's like we have this is year three of the logjam at short. We just got rid of one guy, Ahmed, you know, but it's still a logjam.
That counts. Right. It is. Dear Brothers Guardians Cast, brought to you by the Evergreen Podcast Network and waitingfornextyear.com. Also brought to you by our friends at Rise and Grind Fitness, Breaking Tee t-shirts. Want to get your Guardians gear, Browns, Cavs, go to breakingtee.com/dairy, D-E-R-Y. And of course, the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben, Dr. Sean, the whole crew over there. By the way, Rise and Grind Fitness, I got to be honest, there's nobody more active on Instagram than that account. It's constant updates. It's what's going on. You're seeing the different the studios. You're seeing the bikes. You're seeing everything that's going on over there, Todd. It's pretty impressive. That's, you know, you gotta utilize the socials, right?
Absolutely. Listen, that's why they're there. They're not just there to look at good looking girls and clips of Love is Blind, you know? So, things are going great. Come check us out. We're at the corner of Chagrin Boulevard and Brainerd above the Bank of America there. And we have bikes for spin classes. We've got bike boot camp. We've got regular boot camp. We've got a great, great bar program led by some fantastic instructors. Savannah Goins is incredible. My girl Courtney, she's great. Jen is great. We have an incredible staff. And in addition to that, we are, you know, we got yoga twice a week. So if you're looking for an all-encompassing group fitness studio, there's no better place than Rise and Grind Fitness. Check us out at Rise and Grind Fitness, R-Y-Z-E, Rise and Grind Fitness on Instagram, or at riseandgrind.com. Tell them that I sent you. Free class for all listeners, baby.
Whoa.
First class is free for all listeners. You mention it, and you're in. So check us out.
By the way, I don't know if you heard the interview that Zach Meisel and TJ Zuppi did with Tom Hamilton on the...
I did. I loved it. It was great. Hammy's the friggin' best.
That was incredible. Because it wasn't just like, hey, let's break down the team. It was like, what about your career? What about working with Herb? What about...
Yeah.
You know, travel story.
Talking about his basketball, doing basketball games. And yeah.
Loved it. It was really, really good. Shout out to Tom. We are so lucky to have him and as our guy. And what he said about Rosie was cool, too. Like, a little behind the scenes about he and Jim Rosenhaus. I didn't know Rosie just turned 60. That's pretty crazy.
It's so funny. I thought he was, like, 40. He looks young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does sound
We had Rosie on the pod the day of the national championship game 2 years ago because I did that one. We interviewed him, and I was in my hotel in New Orleans. That was the last time we had Rosie on. I do remember that. Ago? Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
I don't think we'll be doing a Final Four show from you being at the Final Four this time.
we may not even make it to the second round, let alone, especially if Hunter Dickinson and McCullough are not going to play.
Man, that's wild.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Can
we talk about Chase DeLauder for a second?
Yeah.
I know we mentioned him briefly. This guy is the real deal. I hate saying it, but like he has not looked overwhelmed at all. You hear nothing but raves from the coaching staff about his makeup. And could we have finally possibly drafted an outfielder that's going to pan out for once? Is that possible, Deez?
It has. Eventually, the tide has to turn. Eventually, the Will Bensons of the world, not, of course, in Cleveland, Brad Zimmer, Clint Frazier, all of it. I mean, you know, even Lonnie.
Trevor Crow.
I know Lonnie was a third.
But Lonnie was a shortstop when they drafted him.
Right, but like then moved to the outfield, and then we're thinking, oh, he's going to be our right fielder for 10 years, and he wasn't. So
he was a serviceable player.
Yeah.
You know, but he wasn't a star.
I'm not hating on any Lon bombs, but like.
No, me neither. I don't hate anyone on the 2016 team.
Of a first round bat that we thought would be a plus player. And yeah, DeLauder, I mean, I know some scouts question the swing and whether that will compute at the highest level and translate it at the big league level, because the swing's a little weird and wonky. I'll be interested in seeing next weekend, or at the end of this week going into the weekend, they have that prospect breakout games or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spotlight, where it's like just the breakout guys go against each other. So like, I guess we're playing like the Reds. So like whoever the Reds breakout guy is going to pitch, and the Lauder will be in there, and Manzardo will be in there. That'll be interesting to see how he does. And if he performs well, does this organization, and again, you mentioned Jeff Passan reporting it, do they really fast track him up? That would be wild. I'd be stunned to see like DeLauder and Manzardo in the lineup in Oakland. I'd be giddy.
It would be a complete reversal of everything they've done in the Chappy into Antonetti era of president and general manager, because they've never done that. The only time I can ever remember it, and it's not like he was a hot prospect, was Kwan. And when they started Kwan on the roster 2 years ago on opening day, just because they were so desperate for hitting and he was so good that they started him from day one. They very, very rarely do that. They don't even do it with pitchers, really. Yeah, I mean, no, so
that's a good example, because you're right.
If you think about it, like even go back to Bieber, for example. Bieber came up mid-season. Danny Salazar, when he was the hotness, he came up mid-season. You know, go all the way back to Jarrett Wright, came up in the middle of the season. It's never,
Drew didn't come up till August, remember?
Nope. Yeah. Played 45 games in that season in 2013.
Magical year of 07.
2007. Why did I say 2013? Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they actually have the guts to pull it off.
But I don't think they're going to do it. No way.
I don't think they will either. I think that they have, they're like, oh, you know, he hasn't played, you know, X amount of games above double A, and, you know, you got to see more, you know, we need more adjustments. They'll do that. But I don't know. It would be a nice departure. Wild.
March 28th, Guardians A's, and you've got Brennan in center, DeLauder in right, and Freeman at short. That would be nuts. But those are the guys hitting, and Manzardo DHing.
So, you know, DeLauder is not starting these games where he's facing the top level pitching.
Correct.
But heading into today, this spring, he's 5-for-12 with a bomb and two walks in 12 at bats. So, you know, we'll take it. And, you know, obviously, you know, we've all been talking all spring about, you know, are they going to go to Manzardo and can he make the opening day roster? I think it's been clear the way they've used him that they don't want to. But on the other hand, they've given this Davison De La Cruz, you know, he's gotten 23 at bats. I don't know why I said, sorry, DLS is what I meant.
Today. Yeah.
Yes, De Los Santos has gotten 23 at-bats, which is the most going into today, which is the most at-bats any player has gotten. He's 4-for-23 with 5 strikeouts and no walks. But again, he's 20 years old. He's never played above double A. I know what they see in him, you know, the big power and all that, but are they really going to have him on the opening day roster? I mean, if he's not usable, he's not usable. And it's a waste of a roster spot. I don't know if this is legal or not. Can they go to Arizona and say, we will offer up a, you know, another prospect so you don't claim him or something? Like, what are the rules there on the return?
I think he either has to be on the big league roster or he goes back.
Or you have to return him?
I think.
And he has to go through waivers or whatever?
Right. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not there. I have not spoken to anyone who has told me anything other than they see it, but it's just not translating on the field yet. So,
but again, he's 20.
I don't know. I know, but you know, I know this is like a lazy comparison, but Jonkenzie Noel seems to be the same type of guy, but more athletic to me.
Right. Right. Plays. And he's more of a pure outfielder.
He's a corner guy. Yeah, he's a corner guy. Jonkenzie, they've been playing at first, at short, first at third and left and right. They're trying him everywhere. They were teaching De Los Santos how to play the outfield for sure. I was looking up to see how Noel was doing. You know, he's 4 for 21 with 10 Ks, you know, so, with then no walks. So, you know, and
but
he's going to start the season
but
AAA.
It's tough because, like, guys have had bad springs, but yet you're like, you know, they're going to hit, you know?
Right, of course. Jimenez, but that's the proven
Jimenez
guys.
And, was it Jimenez in 2022 had a poor spring, but they knew they had to play him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kwan had a great spring in 2022, but like, and earned this right to play. It's tough. But again, they're seeing things on backfields. They're seeing things in B games that we don't see, you know, live pitching against his own teammates and all that. So I don't know. I like the fact that they're throwing a ton of stuff against the wall and seeing if it sticks. And I think that they also know that they can pelt vote with all these young players and it won't phase him. Whereas with Tito, it's like, that's a lot of young guys to be throwing his way, you know?
And you know what? I think a lot of the reason why he, you know, obviously, you know, his health was one reason, but I've said this on the pod before, but I think a big I don't think he can't would have come back last year after as great as, you know, but the 22 season dictated him like to him that this team really could do something. We just had a magical season. I'm going to give it one more shot, you know, and I think that the play the kids thing is a real thing at this point. And you're right. Tito would not have wanted to play these guys. He probably would have leaned more on Straw than what, a vote has been, I mean, obviously he's been hurt, you know, but, and they know what they have in Straw. They don't need to see it. They know he can't hit. They know he's a great defender and he can run. Right. And obviously, you know what, if he was my fifth outfielder or fourth outfielder, I could live with it, you know?
Well, doesn't it seem like that's the plan based off of the playing time that he's gotten this spring? I mean, it just seems like it. I mean, I know he's playing today, but like, it just seems like you look at it and go, they know he's going to be on the team due to his contract and everything else. And the fact that in the late innings, you're right, if Freeman starts in center, let's just, and again, we're just filibustering here. I mean, we got so sick of watching that offense last year. You know, it's kind of like Saturday Night Live. It's not funny anymore. Like this isn't funny that they don't hit home runs and can't score. They've got to find a way to score. So maybe Freeman is your guy for 7 innings and he's the center fielder. But then in late innings, you know, you got to take him out because you got to have somebody that catches the ball in a 1-run game, which we know the Guardians play a lot of.
And I think another reason why Straw is not playing a lot is because you want to see Florial and see what he can do. But obviously, you know, because he's gotten a ton of starts out there too. And that has not translated. I go back to, they need more power in the lineup. And we saw a year's worth of no power. And what has really gotten better in terms of power in the lineup? Seriously, what has gotten better? A healthy, you know, Bo Naylor for a full season? I mean, I don't know. It's got to be Manzardo, but they're not going to use him, right?
I mean, you would get Manzardo for power. I think Brennan will hit for more power the way that they've changed the swing. But we're not talking like De Los Santos. Do they envision one day being a 30 home run guy with the way he crushes the ball?
And his well, that's not going to help you this year. He's a project.
It's not, you're not.
Yeah.
He's not the next.
We didn't even talk about Big Game Dave. Speaking of power,
you know, that's another guy, David Fry. Where, how's he on this? There's not enough room for everybody.
No, but the thing is,
it's going to be a weird decision made. There's going to be somebody on the DL that they're going to sneak on there on the IL, something. Maybe Dale just goes back to Arizona. I don't know. But there's going to be some.
But the thing is, you're saying there's a lot of guys there. All true. There are a lot of guys there. But there are a lot of guys that we know are good, is the problem. I think we got a lot of middling talent out there. You know, like look at. If you just go over,
Florial could be just DFA.
It wouldn't shock me the way he's played this spring. If he's not going to hit, and he's had two full seasons at AAA where he's shown he can do it, and then he's come up to the majors with the Yankees and hasn't proven it. Maybe he's 4A, you know.
Maybe.
So that would,
if he's claimed. I don't know if he gets claimed or not.
He may not. I mean, who friggin' knows?
We'll see.
But we've talked about this for 3 years, all of these guys are the same.
I know.
You know, that's the problem. Who's distinguished themselves so far?
Manzardo.
I know I know we are only on the 10th of March when we're having this conversation.
Play along. Come on.
I'm playing along. I'm playing along. I just, you know, I want to be excited, and I am excited. I really am. But
we can win this.
You know,
division.
When I see,
I'm telling you, we're going to win this division. We're going to.
I know we can. I agree.
Do this.
I agree.
The starting pitching stays healthy. We can absolutely win this division. There's no way the bullpen can be any worse than it was a year ago. Not a chance. Now, again, that means Smith and Alomon and some of these guys have to perform. Stefan's got to get healthy and look like 2 years ago Trevor Stefan, because last year's Trevor Stefan was meatball parm, as our friend Seth Forrest would say. It was brutal. You know?
Yeah.
I got one more text from Steve Derry about how the ball is up, and he was right.
Nah.
Stefan was getting out. It's balls up, and it's like, uh-oh, next pitch crush.
But go back to 2 years ago, and Stefan was literally unhittable. And we need that back again. And then I know we only mentioned his name once in passing, but this is a big year for Scott Barlow too, from a career standpoint. I mean, he's 31 years old. He's had plenty of time to assert himself. He's a big arm back there. Absolutely. And
I don't want him closing. I want him in the eighth inning. I don't want him closing.
He's not going to close Manny.
Well, I know. Come on. I'm just saying, Barlow.
You notice, by the way, that all that Manny trade talk shit has gone away. I think that was such garbage. I think that was teams hoping that we would put him out there, feeding bullshit information out there to dumb writers who ran with it. I mean, I know that's your boy, the Pope.
Payne, it was a lot of yam talk.
That's right. A lot of yam talk. Yeah, but I know your boy, the Pope, John Morrissey. I mean, I know that's your guy, but that was some of the worst reporting.
Come on. The Pope is he struggled with the Ohtani to Toronto bit too, but
he's had a rough offseason.
He's a nice big hockey fan.
What's up, Hockey Town? Yeah, sorry.
That's right.
I was trying to make you laugh.
Big great bit going on here in Detroit, and then we'll end this thing. But the Wings put a patch on their jerseys for advertisement. It was, priority.
Like waste. The Guardians have Marathon Oil on theirs.
Priority waste. And they did. They put this patch on a week and a half ago during a win streak, and they've lost five in a row since. So everybody's blaming.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Now that's actually really funny.
It is. It's become a whole bit around this town, but, you know, it's kind of funny. All right. That'll do it for you. You got anything else, or is that we're good?
I think we're good. I just implore this team. I just implore them. Please do me a favor.
Put the best guys out
there. Exactly what I was going to say. Give me the guys who can hit. If Tyler Freeman is passable in center field, start him in center field. If neither of those Rocchio and Arias aren't hitting, start Freeman in shortstop. Figure something out in center field. I can't sit through another season of scoring two runs and losing 7-2. I can't do that again.
I know.
Okay. So please, can we just play the guys who can hit?
Give me
something. Yes. And I don't care about options and who's on the 40 man and who's not. Give me the best players. Oh, one last piece this week. George Valera was already sent back down to the minors.
Oh yeah. Always hurt.
Another guy. And again, he's only 23 and there's plenty of time, but you know, it's another prospect. You hold. And then now, you know, so please just give me the best guys. Yeah. Thank you. You've been helpful.
All right. There it is. For Todd Derry, Matt Derry, this has been the Derry Brothers Guardians Cast, waitingfornextyear.com, the Evergreen Podcast Network, brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry, CFAD.net, Breaking Tea T-shirts at BreakingTea.com/Derry, and also Rise and Grind Fitness. Just Google it, go on Instagram, and get in shape. We are out of room and out of here.
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.